Good morning, good morning, good morning, Christ Community Chapel. Good morning. Come on now. We can do a little better than that. After that praise and worship, good morning, Christ Community Chapel. There we go. Come on now. I like that. I can get excited about that. Amen. Glory to God. Man, woof. Man, I will remain. Woo. Man, listen, you better take that upon yourself. That's a proclamation, amen? Come on, man. You better store that for the rest of this week and be saying it over yourself. Man, glory to God. Man, thanks so much for being with us on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. As you can see, I am not Brian Kunkler, but I will say the things that Brian says, and I will tell our deacons to come on. We're going to get going with our offering time. If you're not a member here, this time is not for you, but it's for those who are, amen? Man, this is exciting. Woof. I got to calm myself down. I got a microphone in my hand, and we could have a whole different situation jumping off right now. Amen. But I'm going to settle myself back in because I see Brian looking at me over in the corner of my eye. I'm not going to look that way. Amen. But I'm up here to give the announcements because we feel like, man, Brian does a lot. So Brian said, hey, Kemp, could you do the announcement? I said, hey, brother, no problem. We're going to have a good time. Got a couple things I want to share with you today just from my weekend personally. Yesterday, man, was a busy day in the Boyd household, so busy that me or my wife, Stacy, wasn't home all day. And so whenever you have six kids, people love the Lord now. Hear me the right way. People love Jesus, and they love me and my family and my children, but they don't want to take them all at one time. They was like, can we, you know... We love your children, and God bless them, but, man, just give us two. And so we kind of, you know, we had to split them up yesterday, man, but just truly, they had a great time. But my wife was going to, there was a conference yesterday called the Akron Women on Purpose Conference. Yeah, that's what I want to hear, all these women. Because, see, I really, it's because of you guys, the Megans, the Selenas, and, you know, my sister over here, because... When my wife came home, I said, you know, I'm about to lay my foot down about some things that are going on in my household. I had to. Because, see, my wife has been gone for consecutive Saturdays because I'm used to my wife being there, and I like being around my wife. But she's just been up. There you go. That's good. Yeah, we can say that a little louder. And so when she came back, I said, listen, I need to put my foot down about some things. Now, the last time I did this, it didn't work out too well for me, but I was confident this time that it was going to work out well because I had conviction, had some stuff on my side, amen? And Stacy, everybody that knows her, everybody says, oh, man, Stacy's so sweet, and she just smiles, and she, you know, she's got all these children, and how does she do it all? Yeah, I hear all that. Great. Great for Stacy. Okay? I played a role in some of this stuff now. But I had to put my foot down and say, hey, babe, listen, next Saturday, man, we're not doing anything. Nothing. Because we got to reconnect. And so I was convicted. I'm saying this, and I feel real good about myself. And, you know, I look at her, I said, hey, you know, and she was like, oh, well, okay. She kind of just was dismissive of it. And I said, what? Now, you husband support me here now. Pastor Ford support me, my brother. And I was like, come on, I'm trying to connect. And so she's like, okay, we won't. Now, between all of us in the room, us and the microphone here, I just made plans with Dane for next Saturday to have breakfast. I'm sorry, Stacy, I'm sorry. But the brother said he needed to talk to me, and I want to be there to minister to my brother, amen? Glory to God. But on the serious side, how many times do you think the Father in heaven says, I need to put my foot down with you because, man, we haven't connected in a while, amen? And that's where it kind of comes back to. What has my week been like of my connection with God? And does he need to put his foot down on me to say, hey, man, I need you to come back in? And not the traditional ritualistic things that we always do as far as, hey, we're going to have devotion, but just, man, going and just talking to Daddy. Just going and having time with him. And we know that the week coming up, man, this is a very important week as far as us spiritually, as far as what Christ went to do for us. We're celebrating Good Friday. Then we're going to come back on Sunday. And we have our Easter services, and we're going to have a great time. We're going to fellowship. But, man, let's really think about our week and plot that out, how we're going to sit and have fellowship with the Father this week. Because he just wants to reconnect with us. Amen? He wants to reconnect because, hey, we get going with the hustle and bustle of life, and we go and we do all these different things. But it's like, man, have I stopped to acknowledge Daddy in this moment before I did this? Amen? So it's just something for all of us to just think about. And, you know, obviously I'm going to use Stacy to kind of make my point, and we laugh, and it's great. But, man, I did feel a certain way about, man, I needed to reconnect with my wife. And if I needed to reconnect with her, man, I need to reconnect with God that much more. Amen? So let's just take that with us this week and really kind of focus in and do that and really think about that on a higher level. Amen? As far as with him. And so we're going to be here next Sunday. We've got our Easter service at 9 and at 10:40. We're going to have a really, really great time. And we're going to have a great time this morning. Brian's going to bring us the word as God has given it to him, man. And we just want to encourage that. And we want to encourage our church family here. Again, we're going to have a prayer. And after, as I pray, Brian's going to be coming on up. But, you know, I like to do things a little bit different. Okay? We're going to stand up. And we're going to shoulder down with each other, man. We're going to touch and agree in prayer. Because God loves corporate prayer. He wants to speak to us as a corporate church, but he also wants to speak to us as individual churches. So as we hear the word today, let's just take it in. Let's receive it. Let's meditate on it throughout the week, all right? Amen? Let's all stand to our feet. Now, if you don't want to touch somebody's hand, you can touch somebody's shoulder, but we're gonna link up. Amen.
Well, yeah, just take a look.
Amen, amen, amen. Somebody let Jay in here now. Glory to God. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for your goodness.
Yes.
We thank you most of all, Father God, for who you are and what you've been in our lives. And Father God, we pray for our church this morning. We pray for your continued covering that comes through your blood. And Father God, we just thank you for the word, Father God, for your word brings life into us, Lord. We pray, Father God, the deliverer of your word today, Lord God, that he deliver with boldness and with power.
Yes.
And that, Father God, circumcise our ears so we can hear, Father God. We can hear the word that you are speaking to our church, Lord God, and that we can take it and receive it. Father God, thank you for the fellowship. Thank you, Father God, for the symbolic nature of us just grasping hands with one another, Father
yes.
God. Let this never be broken.
Yes.
And let this bond last true that the enemy cannot prevail against us,
yes.
Cannot prevail against this church, cannot prevail against this congregation, Lord God, because we have been called to your purpose
yes.
And to your righteousness.
Yes.
And Father God, we trust in you, and we know and believe that we will see the goodness of your glory. In Christ's name we pray these and all things. Amen.
Amen,
amen, amen. 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 Come on and get them, brother.
Thank you, Kemp, for leading us. The title of the message today is going to be, if you take notes, how to put your foot down so that people actually listen to you. So you can, this is primarily for Kemp, but those of you that are here, you're welcome to listen along. So Kemp will be taking notes to this, just teasing. Hey, we're going to be in Galatians this morning, so if you want to turn to Galatians and then hold out there and we'll dig in. So it was nearly 2,000 years ago when the first Palm Sunday literally happened. And the first Palm Sunday was the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem riding on the back of a donkey. And crowds of people gathered around and they took their cloaks off and they put it in front of Jesus to be this path of cloaks all the way in to Jerusalem. And people grabbed palm branches and began waving them, right? And just celebrating, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And everybody was excited because they knew, right, in this scene, there's Old Testament resonances all through this thing. The people were welcoming the long-awaited king, and they were pumped. And then it was 5 days later when this king would literally go to his throne. He would be lifted high on his throne. And his throne looked very different than the thrones of most rulers throughout the ancient world. This throne that this king Jesus went to, it was actually a cross. and King Jesus was literally lifted high, reigning above us. And I want you to consider that when Jesus was lifted high and as he was reigning on the cross, he came to do a whole bunch of things. But one of the things for sure that he came to do was that as he was on the cross, literally in this position, and on his shoulders and in his person, he came to carry our burden, right? It's a tremendous burden. The burden of my sin, my guilt, my shame, my rebellion, my dysfunction, my pride, my selfishness, my lust, my greed, my, right? And, but not just mine. He didn't just bear my burden on himself. He bore yours. And he bore all of the burden of any and every person who would bow the knee by faith and say, Jesus, I need you, right? Even people that came before Jesus literally came to earth 2,000 years ago, the scriptures tell us that those in the old times before Jesus came who trusted God by faith, what Jesus did in bearing burdens, he bore their burdens too. And it's retroactively applied, the burden carrying. He carried it for us. Which is why Jesus can say, come and follow me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Right? He can say that because he's the one that stepped up under it, right? We were carrying it and he said, oh, come on over here. Let me shoulder that for you, right? And Jesus takes it upon himself so our burden is light and our yoke is easy because he's carrying it. Right now, we don't live in an agrarian society. I'm sure most of you know this, but just a refresher, right? When Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, everybody that Jesus was speaking to lived in an agrarian culture, and they knew what a yoke was. They knew what the burden was that Jesus was speaking of. And it was literally this like this wooden structure that would be put on a, right? We still refer to some animals as beasts of burden. Right? A yoke would be placed on an oxen or some other strong animal, and the yoke was the thing that connected the animal to a heavy weight, a wagon, a plow, some sort of thing that animal would then have to pull in its own strength, right? And so we were the ones who had to pull the weight of our own sin, the weight of our condemnation, the weight of our dysfunction, the weight of all of our junk, like that was on us until King Jesus came and literally went to the cross and took those burdens on himself so that we don't have to carry them. Now, that is phenomenally good news for us, but here's the problem. The problem is that many of us walked in this morning still carrying burdens, right? We're not good enough. We don't live well enough. We're not obedient enough. I don't have this area of my life in order. I haven't gotten that thing straight yet, right? And we bear this burden of, I am not good enough in myself, and we carry this thing. And essentially what we're doing is we're carrying our own sin on our shoulders because somehow we believe that Jesus didn't carry it sufficiently for us. Okay? Now that's a problem when we carry that burden. Because it hasn't clicked in to the place it needs to click in, right? Here's another problem. Some of us walked in this morning, probably not at the 10:40 service, mostly at the 9:00, right? People walked in who had yokes of burden that they were looking to throw on other people, right? Just trying to weigh people down with a particular thing, and we're going to talk about this in just a few moments, right? But regarding these yokes that we seek to carry on our shoulders, or the ones that we try to put on other people, Paul, all through the book of Galatians, in Romans 2, but we're going to be in Galatians this morning, Paul says, regarding us carrying those yokes and trying to put other yokes on people, Paul says, it shall not be. It shall not be that way because Jesus rode into Jerusalem as the king, as the long-awaited Messiah. He went to his cross and he bore the burdens in himself so that you and I don't have to do that anymore. Now, Paul's going to say to us, you got to live in this thing. You got to live in this truth because That's why he came. Okay? So now, you got to be with me in Galatians chapter 1. We're gonna jump here in verse 6, right? So the small group that I'm in, we've been in Galatians all year, right? Just 3 to 8 verses at a time. We've just been meticulously working our way through what is oftentimes, right? Galatians is like technical writing at its best. And Paul is just working his way through this idea that Jesus has bore our burdens, and he's trying to get this church, these churches in the region of Galatia to see this because something's going on. Here's what's going on. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Okay, so the churches in the region of Galatia they're doing a couple things. One is they're deserting God. The second thing is they are turning from God's grace. And the third thing is that they're turning to a different kind of gospel. Okay, now I don't know if you've been in church long, but just so you know, in the church world, that's like a trifecta train wreck, right? That's really bad. To desert God, to step out of his grace, and then to adopt some other kind of gospel other than the one that said Jesus bore our sin and shame, right? Just an absolute train wreck. And if you guys remember the last couple weeks we've been in this series, in two different places in Romans, Paul says to them, he says to the Roman churches, he says, you've got to do this thing. You've got to take your stand in God's grace, right? So what Jesus has done for us, because he did it, now because of that, he has positioned us squarely in his grace. Now Paul says, now here's what you have to do, here's what I have to do, and here's all we have to do. We have to take our stand rooted and firm and secure in this position that he has already declared to be true about us. Take your stand in his grace, right? And here's the thing. This is what we talked about the last couple weeks. As we take our stand in his grace, here's what that allows us to do. It allows us to be people who unashamedly, right, and with no concern for condemnation or rejection, it allows us to be people who behold and cherish and are fixated on the glory of God. God's weighty, magnificent presence is ours to behold and to live under in the shining beauty of that because we've been positioned in his grace, right? And so the problem is that when we step outside of the grace of God, now his glory is something that we're going to shy away from. And as we shy away from being fixed on his glory and his renown and his awesomeness, well, then there's a whole bunch of other people that would love to become the centerpiece for us, and they would like to become our glory, right? Think about it in terms of cults. Right? When cults arise, and boy, they've been arising all through history, the thing that separates a cult from a non-cult essentially is the guru, it's the leader, it's the guy or the girl that's in charge who essentially becomes the center of everybody's life. They're the ones who everybody goes to, hears from, cherishes, values, puts up on the pedestal. Wow, you are awesome, right? In a cult setting, the glory of God is not the centerpiece. It's the glory of a particular person. And so in Galatians, here's what Paul's going to say in Galatians 4:17, right? Paul's going to say there are some people who have come in and infiltrated your church, and they're preaching to you a different gospel. And Paul says, here's why they're doing that. So that you may, quote, be zealous for them, right? So don't be fixated on God's glory. These false teachers come in, and essentially they want to take a prominent location in the lives of the Galatian church, right? So verse 7, let's continue. Paul says, you're departing from grace. You're moving to a different gospel. Verse 7, which, regarding this different gospel that you're moving towards, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Right? So there's these people, we'll call them false teachers, and they're infiltrating into the ranks of the churches that are in the region of Galatia. Now, here's what I know to be true. These false teachers that are coming into the churches in Galatia, they didn't just wake up someday and say, hey guys, I got an idea. Let's go to the region of Galatia and let's purposefully mislead them. Let's go over there and let's train wreck their church, train wreck their faith. Let's malign the gospel of Jesus and let's lead them into something horrible. That they didn't say that. That's not their intended purpose, right? They are thinking, as these false teachers are coming in, they're actually believing on a very deep level that they're doing something good that the Galatian churches need them to do desperately. Right? So here's the context, right? These teachers come into the Galatian churches, they infiltrate, and previously, here's what the Galatian churches had believed, because the Apostle Paul had a formative influence on them. Here's what they believed previously. The Galatian churches previously believed that Jesus, in his perfect sinless life, absolutely fulfilled all of the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus pleased the Father perfectly in his life, and somehow that's been credited to us, to them. In addition, they believe that Jesus died on the cross to cover our sin. We talked about this, to take us from a negative deficit standing with God to net neutral. Sin covered, all that does is make you neutral. It's really good to be neutral when you're in the deficit, but neutrality is good. That's what Jesus does on the cross. And then Paul says in Romans, remember we talked about this, that Jesus was raised for our justification, right? Taking us from neutral to absolute, perfect, positive, glorious standing in God's family, right? The Galatian churches believed that. They also believed that the Spirit of God was their superintendent, their shepherd, their leader, and that the Spirit of God was moving among them and was activating all of these spiritual giftings that God just graciously pours out into all of us, and that as this body would walk together, the Spirit of God would lead them off and on into all the glorious things that God has for them. That's where the Galatian church was, right? And then in that context, these false teachers come in thinking they're doing good, and the Galatian churches are receiving them as doing good. They come in, and here's what they essentially say. That you, Galatian churches, you've gotten something right. Yes, you need Jesus. But you also need, in addition to Jesus, you need Jesus plus circumcision, and then once that equation is in place, then, and only then, equals God is pleased with you. Okay? Jesus plus circumcision equals God is pleased. Now, circumcision was this Old Testament sign that you were part of God's family, and these teachers come in, and they're saying that Jesus isn't enough, right? And they're also saying that in addition to circumcision, you also need to fulfill a bunch of other Old Testament things, but circumcision is the iconic thing that Paul keeps going back to again and again and again with the Galatians. But their idea is, the false teachers, Jesus plus circumcision equals God is pleased with you. Right now, Paul, through and in Galatians, animated by the Spirit of God himself, is going to come in and say, now Galatians, hold up a second, right? These false teachers that are among you, they've got half the equation right. But they've got half of it desperately wrong. The half that they got right is Jesus being in Christ equals God is pleased with you. The half of the equation that they have train wrecked is the plus circumcision part, plus celebrating God on this particular Sabbath day, plus celebrating this particular festival, plus eating these dietary restrictions. It's the plus part, fill in the blank. That's where the false teachers are absolutely misleading you. So Paul writes Galatians to say, to the Galatian churches to say, it is in Jesus alone that God is pleased with us, period. Don't allow anyone to add anything else into the equation, right? Now, for 2,000 years, the Church of Jesus Christ has been phenomenal at adding in Jesus plus things equals God is pleased, right? We are magnificently gifted at it, right? Just look through history, just a historical, just venture with me for a bit, right? Throughout history, it has been Jesus plus, in some places, Jesus plus how we do baptism equals God is pleased with you, right? And in some eras of history, in medieval Europe, if you practice baptism the wrong way, not only is God not pleased with you, but you might lose your head, right? That's pretty core. That's pretty central. Okay. Now, in other places, at other times, it's Jesus plus how we practice communion equals God is pleased, right? And to the point where at some points in history, if you didn't see communion or practice it the right way, you would be kicked out of the church and then even sometimes killed, right? Christians were great at adding things, Jesus plus something. For some, right, throughout history, it's been Jesus plus this particular Bible translation. When you get that equation right, then God is pleased with you, right? Now let's fast forward into the last 30 years. Some of you guys have probably had maybe some of these experiences because Christians are great, right? I'm going to criticize myself here in a little bit. We are great at making Jesus plus statements, then God is pleased, right? Here we go. Jesus plus, you can't drink alcohol, right? You get that straight, then God is pleased with you, right? 30 years ago, that was like been a big deal for like 80 or 90 years now. I feel like it's kind of moving its way out, but it's still there, right? Jesus plus, you can't drink alcohol, then God is pleased. Or Jesus plus, this is from about 25, 30 years ago, Jesus plus, you can't have drums in corporate worship equals God is pleased with you. That's a literal thing, right? It's just silly, right? We'd be in big trouble with a lot of people because we don't accommodate to that equation. But there are people that do. Jesus plus no drums equals God is pleased with you. That's a yoke that some people want to throw on all y'all and all me, right? That's a real thing. Or this, Jesus plus this particular, even though it's not a core doctrinal thing, Jesus plus this doctrinal view, right? You get the doctrinal view right and you add it to Jesus, then God is pleased with you, right? Jesus plus a particular political view, right? You get the political view right and you get Jesus, then God is pleased with you. Jesus plus this particular social issue, right? You get that equation right, then God is pleased. And the list goes on. Right? As Christians, we are phenomenal at adding in the plus the blank equals God is pleased. We're so skilled at it. Now, here's what I want to say regarding some of these things. Jesus plus. Some of these issues, right? Politics and social issues and communion and baptism, these are significant things. And God cares about these things, and it's good for us to be passionate about these things and to allow the Spirit of God to speak in and to give shaping to how we view and engage in these things. Now, here's the point. It's just they're not so important that if we mess these things up, that then there and therefore God is not pleased with us, right? Because of what Jesus has done, the burden has been carried. He has declared us absolutely and totally in right standing, and he's crazy about us, right? Simply because of Jesus, right? That's it. Now, here's what so there's a difference between between placing a yoke of burden on somebody regarding these issues, and then iron sharpening iron related to these issues, right? To place a yoke of burden on somebody with these issues is horribly wrong, and Paul's gonna come on at you, right? But regarding these issues, it is a good thing for iron to sharpen iron in these areas. And I want to maybe give you an example of a difference just to concrete it for us. Okay, it was 21, 22 years ago now where I was sitting in the old school Akron U Chuckery, which maybe outside of Coach Boyd, I don't know, anybody else remember the old Chuckery? Yes, all right. So I'm sitting in the Akron U Chuckery across the table from the fellow who was discipling me, right? And for 2.5 years, this man, we would just meet, and I was a sponge, and he would pour, and we would just meet and just dig into the scriptures, and man, God changed my life through that relationship. But this one particular day, John was his name, John White. We're sitting across the table, and John wanted to sharpen me as iron sharpens iron. And he brought to my attention a particular theological view that he had grown just recently very passionate about, right? And he started sharing this thing with me. And here's how I know for John, this theological thing he was sharing with me wasn't a yoke of burden he was trying to place on me, but yet it was something he was trying to use to sharpen me, right? And I know that because of how he engaged me in that conversation, right? He was gracious. He was patient with me. I actually kind of like pushed it back and said, no, this is not true, right? Because I didn't like what he was saying, right? And I kind of pushed back and we kind of like jostled back and forth, but he was kind with me. He didn't like force it on me. He was casting seeds and not crushing me with this thing, right? He was seeking to sharpen me. Now, fast forward a little bit, in this theological view, which he shared with me, it went in me like a seed. And 3, 6, 8, 9 months later, this thing that I had initially rebelled against, this theological view, this particular way of seeing God, I'm not going to tell you what it is because it's not important. Paul's thorn in the flesh, what was it? Doesn't matter, right? But this regarding this theological issue, it erupted in me as something that was true and centrally important. Because I came to see, wow, this particular way of seeing God, in my mind, elevated God to this unique status of like where he deserved to be. Because this doctrine said things about God that I thought made him more gloriously God. And then what did I start doing with that? Did I start going out and ironing, sharpening iron with people? No, I didn't. What I did was, is I went out and I started throwing yokes of burden on people related to that thing, right? If you'd had a conversation with me, I was that annoying guy. I'm so sorry. God has forgiven me. I was the guy that would have a conversation with you and say, I wouldn't have said it exactly like this, but essentially it was, if you don't believe this particular doctrine regarding God, then I don't know if he's pleased with you. Yes, Jesus, yes. Affirming everything that Jesus did on the cross, right? All that stuff, check the box. I'm for that, right? But in addition to that, if you don't see this theological view in this way, then I'm not sure that God is pleased with you, right? And I became that guy that nobody wants to be, right? And so here, so when I say throughout history, this has been something that Christians are phenomenal at, Jesus plus fill in the blank, I was great at it. It's so sneaky. It's insidious in how, like, I thought I was doing good for people. I thought I was exposing them to something that God wanted to expose them to. I thought I was leading them in to this beautiful place of seeing God in this certain way, but the way that I did it, really, what I was doing was I was putting a yoke of burden on people, because when that conversation's finished, I walked away, they're left wondering, well, Jesus, yeah, but if I don't see it this way, then maybe God isn't pleased with me. I did the very thing that these false teachers were doing in Galatia, right? And that's a dangerous thing that I was doing, and here's why. Because in verse 8, Paul says how dangerous of a thing it was that I did and that the Galatian false teachers are doing. Galatians 1:8, Paul says this, but even if we, right, Paul's speaking of himself and his team, but even if we or, right, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. Right? Some of you guys are familiar, if you read church history, this word anathema. That's the word, right? It literally means a thing doomed to destruction. So I was swimming in very dangerous waters, and praise the Lord, according to his patience and kindness, he rocked me out of that nasty place that I was and saved me from yoking anybody else with more burdens of this thing, right? But here's what I learned about myself, and I see this in people all the time. Sometimes in a desire, thinking that we're doing good for other people, what we are actually doing is we are putting a yoke of slavery and bondage and burdens for people to carry, not realizing that that's exactly what we are doing. There is a danger that we think we're doing good, but we ourselves are on a path to destruction and misleading others. Okay, now with that, and all the sobriety that that brings. I want you to fast forward to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, right? And all sorts of beautiful things that Paul says in between Galatians 1 and Galatians 5. But let's fast forward and get to some of the beauty of when we understand Jesus and all that he is and has done for us. Here's the result of it for us. Galatians 5, verse 1. Paul says this: "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm." How many times have we read that in the last 3 weeks? "Keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Because Christians are so skilled at creating yokes of slavery that we want to throw on each other, Paul says it is so necessary for us to stand firm, right? 3 weeks in a row, three different passages where Paul essentially says the same thing. Because of Jesus, we've been positioned in his grace, and y'all better stand there. Stand in that place, because there's so many other people out there that want to rock you out of grace into a place where, yeah, Jesus is carrying some of the burden, but I'm carrying some too. Paul says, stop it. Stop it. Get back to the place where it's just Jesus reigning over you with grace, showering you with kindness, and live free. No more yokes of burden shall be placed on you, and it's up to you and it's up to me to shed those things and to allow Jesus to carry them, right? Three times, three different passages, same thing, same exact thing. So here's the deal, right? A yoke of slavery, let's define it as this. A yoke of slavery is when we believe that God is not pleased with me until I have Jesus plus something. Jesus plus something equals, and that something isn't on Jesus, that something's on me. That something's on you. Jesus plus something now equals God is pleased with me. That is a yoke of slavery. Now, here's what freedom is, right? Freedom is God is pleased with me because of Jesus. And now in light of that and from that place, now I'm positioned for God to do things in me, to shape me, to mold me regarding all these things that the plus people want to put on us, right? Or let me say it maybe a little bit differently. The only place where true transformation can happen in us is when we are positioned in his grace. The only place, right? So here's the thing. If you want to carry, if you want to allow people to put a yoke on you, Jesus plus whatever that thing is, then what you will have relegated yourself to is, we'll call them surface level changes. A yoke can change some of your behavior, right? Because you're afraid. If I don't do this thing, I'm going to get circumcised, right? Let's just call circumcision a surface level change for those of you that know what it is, right? It will change you somehow, but it's a surface-oriented sort of change, right? That's what happens when we try to do stuff to please God. Surface-level, minute, just fractional changes. But God is not concerned with just simply modifying our behavior a little bit, right? This whole year, we've been talking about this. What he longs to do is to just go deep in our hearts, to move into the core of us, and radically change everything about us. Now, the only way he can do that is when we are in and standing firm in his grace. Jesus plus nothing equals God is crazy about me. Only in this place do we have a chance of the Spirit of God penetrating deep into our hearts and changing us in the ways that he longs to change us. Right? It's counterintuitive. There are people that say, you got to change, therefore do this thing, right? You've just suspended any possible transformation, right? God positions us in his grace. And one of the reasons why is so that we can be free, so that then the door has been opened into the deep parts of us. And now and only now, as we're free from condemnation, free from trying, free from merit-based effort-crushing things, only then can we receive his Spirit, receive his kindness, receive his power in a way that changes us, right? And Paul just hammers this all through Galatians. He does the same thing in Romans because it's so important, right? So he continues, "It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, in light of that, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say to you, right? And it's going to get weighty again. I say to you that if you receive circumcision, or whatever the fill-in-the-blank thing is, Jesus plus whatever, I say to you, if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision, or every woman who receives having to eat this diet or celebrate church on this day or whatever it is, right? I say to every person who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You talk about getting crushed, that'll crush you. I don't care how strong you are, right? If you want to become a Jesus plus fill-in-the-blank person equals God is for you, then Paul says, Jesus is no longer bearing the burden on his half of the equation for you because you have nestled up under that yoke yourself. You think you can do it, you want to do it, it's on you, right? It's your choice. Says, don't do that, right? For the Jesus plus fill in the blank equals God is pleased people, here's what we tend to do. We tend to pick our favorite thing to fill the blank in with, right? We pick the thing that we are awesome at. Jesus plus, whatever that thing that Brian's got that he's awesome at, right? So for me, it was Jesus plus this particular theological view that I got right and most everybody else outside of the guy who discipled me gets wrong, right? That's the thing that now equals God is pleased with me. You don't pick the things that you're bad at. You pick the thing you're good at, right? For some people, let's just say this. Jesus plus adopting a bunch of kids equals God is pleased with you, right? If you've adopted 30 kids, you might say that. If you haven't adopted anybody, you're never going to say that, right? Because it incriminates you. But what Paul is saying is what you don't realize is anything you put into that line, anything you put in, you're nailing that thing. Good for you. Awesome that you got it. But what you don't realize is when you step under that yoke, everything else that you're not good at is now borne by you too. So stop it. Stop trying to bear that burden. Don't do it. Right? So for me, it was Jesus plus theology, right? What Jesus essentially would have said to me had I continued in that thinking is, Brian, if you want to bear that, right? If you think that it's your theological view that saves you, then you got to bear everything else too, right? And there's a whole bunch of stuff in here. Right? I might have gotten that theological view right, but there's a whole bunch of other things in here that I didn't get right. And I'm in big trouble. And just as a side note, right, just as silliness, this theological view that I was so passionate about, I actually see things differently now. The yoke that I cast on people, I actually don't even believe that yoke is true anymore, right? Silliness. Silly, silly, silly we are. Silly I am, right? Paul says, stop it. All right, let's get practical for one more. I want to draw this out one more time in a very practical way. Let's say, because this is so important. Let's say I get an invitation in a couple weeks to go preach at a different church that's a little different than this, right? We are a church that is desiring and aspiring to be a multi-church, right? Because we feel like that's what God has for us, to be multi-age, old and young, multi-ethnic, right? Multi-socioeconomic income, multi-political views. We want to be a multi-church because we believe that on some cool level, God wants the glory of God to be demonstrated and the power of Jesus to be demonstrated in here in such that what separates people in this place, God, because of Jesus, he brings us together, right? Jesus, no pun intended, sorry, trumps all those things that out there divide us, right? That's a powerful thing that our culture is longing to see, and there aren't many places that do that, right? So that's, we're passionate about that here. Let's say I go to a church that isn't passionate about that at all. Let's say instead of being a multi-church, they're a same church, right? Same ethnicity, same income, same political views, same all the stuff. They're all the same. And I get in there and I feel like the Spirit of the Lord is churning in me to preach about the multi, right? And so I stand in front of that church. Now you're a different church. Now there's two ways that I can go about doing that. I can preach about the multi to the same church as iron sharpens iron, or I can preach to them as one who is putting a yoke of crushing burden on them, right? So for me to go in as iron sharpens iron, I say, hey guys, I am so excited to be here. The fact that that you are in Christ. Man, God is crazy about you. There's nothing you could do that would ever change that. He is so in love with you, and it's such a privilege for me to be here. And guys, I just want to tell you, my experience 3 years ago, I came to this church, right? And it was a multi-church, and I get into these relationships with people who are very different from me. And God has just blown the doors open in my mind and in my heart about the beauty of what it looks like when different people come together under the banner of Jesus. It is a glorious thing. And man, I can just go on about that, right? And I'm just casting seeds as iron sharpens iron. Casting seeds, right? That's a beautiful thing. That's a good and gracious thing for that church. But if on the other hand, if I walk in and I say, well, it looks like everybody here's the same. God is so not pleased with you. God is angry at you. Yeah, you believe in Jesus well, but you're missing this thing. And until you get this thing right in this place, God is not pleased with you. So you better start getting some stuff straight around here, right? And what I've just done, I'm not iron sharpening iron at that point. I'm just taking burdens and I'm just throwing them on, right? And people walk out of there. They're going to walk out of there in one of two ways. One is they're going to say, forget that multi stuff. That guy was a jerk, right? And the thing that I'm passionate about putting on people, I've just ruined them for it. And now they're never going to step in the multi direction ever. Or if they do listen to me, they're going to carry a burden that God never meant to them to carry, right? Until they get this thing straight in this place, God is not pleased. I lose either way. The kingdom loses either way. Now, here's why that's really important. It's not just important for that church, but let's say that that church that I went and spoke at, let's say their pastor came and spoke here. And let's say that that church, while they're not a multi-church, well, here's the truth. They're doing other things that we're not doing, and they're rocking some of those things out, and we're not, right? Did you know that there are other churches out there that are same churches that God is just like reigning and shining in, and the Spirit of God is alive and active and vibrant, and God is pleased with them, right? And they're doing things that are good and that God loves and he's all about that we're just not getting, right? And so let's just say that that pastor comes here, and that pastor, let's say in that church, one of the things that they're really nailing, just go with me for a second, they're nailing creation care, right? So in this particular church where that pastor's from, they're just rocking it out, right? Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that we are rulers over creation, right? We are image bearers of God as we order and subdue creation itself. And so that church, they're just doing phenomenal in that area, right? Every single person in that church, like they don't have shingles on the roof. They got solar panels on their roof, right? They're just collecting energy. Nobody's on the grid because they're all, right, just using the sun's rays to power their homes, right? In addition to that, they don't drive regular cars that are run on fossil fuels. They run on biodiesel, right, because they want to be clean and green. So they'll go to McDonald's or Burger King, get the used fry oil, convert it in their diesel converters to biodiesel, and their cars are running on that so that they're not contaminating the environment with their emissions. That's a real thing, by the way, right? In addition to that, everybody in that church is composting, and they're just doing everything regarding eco-stewardship to the glory of God, and they're pumped about it. Now, that guy can come in here in one of two ways. He can come in here as iron sharpens iron, right? And we can be blessed by that. And he can sow seeds of how we were created in God's image, made to rule, and how, right, what we do with this planet matters because God cares about that, right? And that's a gracious and a kind thing. That's a way that we can be sharpened and receive that, and that's good for us. But if that guy comes in and says, how many of you guys have solar panels on your roof? Anybody? Oh, nobody. Thought so. How many of you guys are driving biodiesel right now? Nobody? Anybody bike here? Oh, nobody biked. Okay, we got one. Okay, so let's pretend. Let's pretend that there's nobody, right? Nobody biked here? Oh, really? Yeah, thought so. Anybody compost? No? Right? And then he can say this. God is so not pleased with you. Oh, he is, until you get this thing right, until you get this thing straight in this church, God is not pleased with you, right? In that thing which could have been good for us, could have maintained our position in his grace, could have been a sharpening tool for us, now has just become a burden for us. And one of two things will happen now regarding his creation stewardship message. Either one, we're going to walk out of here and say, I never want to have anything to do with that. forget this creation care stewardship stuff, right? Either that's going to happen, or we walk out of here with a burden on us where we feel like, oh, now I've got to do these things in order for God to be pleased. Either way, it's a train wreck on that Sunday morning. So here's the deal. God wants us to grow in his grace, to be standed and rooted there, to not be people who put our yokes, our passions on other people in a way that's a burden to them, and that we don't receive the yoke of burden from anybody else, because he's called us to be free, because Jesus already, as only he can, yoked up under these things, and he fulfilled them on our behalf. And now, the Spirit of God, according to his grace and his patience and his kindness, will lead us into all of these good things, and he will transform us deeply as we are positioned in his grace. We need to be his grace people. It's the only way that transformation can happen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you are so violent in your desire for us to live free. And to God, you want to just propel us into this place where we understand deeply that you love us, not because we checked all the lists, not because we got all the stuff right, not because we carried the burden sufficiently alongside of you. Father, you love us because Jesus died reigning over us and screamed out of the tomb, obliterating all of the yokes that we have, all of the yokes that we carry. God, you did it because you loved us. Help us, please, to be rooted and to stand firm in that grace which you have already displayed and reigned over us with. Father, we want to live free. Lead us into freedom. Make us a church that shines out all the good things you're doing here as gracious people who love you and are founded in Jesus. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.